Welcome from the deep. I am Mike Finder.
And I am Book of Brett.
And today we're going to be talking about the 1987 film Blood Rage, also known as Slasher. Okay.
No, so this you told me we were doing Slasher.
Well,
are we doing Blood Rage or Slasher?
We're doing Blood Rage.
We didn't watch Blood Rage.
We watched Slasher.
What? Right. So we can't do Blood Rage.
All right. Let's do Slasher.
Thank you.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about the 1987 film Slasher, a.k.a. Blood Rage. This here film right here. That's not cranberry sauce.
Really? You're just going right into it.
What?
Is there, like, do you know why it's got two different names other than the fact that old school horror always seems to have two different names?
I have never looked into this before, and admittedly, even though I watch this movie every single Thanksgiving for the last like 5 to 7 Thanksgivings, maybe,
so unhealthy,
I have never looked into any of the behind the scenes stuff or anything with this movie from what the AI overview on Google says, so take that for what it's worth, you know what I'm saying. The 1987 film Blood Rage was originally titled Slasher before it was released in theaters. However, this title was changed to Nightmare at Shadow Woods for some regions by May 1987. The Arrow Video Blu-ray, which is what we watched, has the original Slasher title card. But there you go. So originally this was titled Slasher, and then it got changed to Nightmare in the Shadow of the Woods. And then at some point it got switched over to Blood Rage.
So at what point are you going to answer my question of why?
Motherfucker, do I look like an endless fucking supply of knowledge about this shit?
You're the horror guy.
That means I have to know everything all the time?
These are details we need to know. People come for this information.
All I'm seeing is this film was originally titled Slasher before it was released as Blood Rage. So there you go. Now you know exactly as much as I knew 5 seconds before you started yelling at me.
That wasn't me yelling. That was me communicating passionately.
I always forget you're Italian.
Thank you.
Anyway, today we're talking about Blood Rage. This is a movie that I've been watching for several years, ever since I bought this Blu-ray. Actually, this was not something that I like grew up watching or anything, but when I found this, I was like, hey, a Thanksgiving horror movie, there's not a lot of those. And so Blood Rage.
That's true. There are not a lot. And thank God we didn't do Thanksgiving again.
Well, also Christy was one that I had reviewed a couple years back. That was a really low budget, more modern Thanksgiving slasher. And it was pretty good. I'll try to remember to link that down below. But I just found a list of 33 horror movies for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And it starts with, hey, look at that, Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead. We were just talking about that before we started.
It is a real...
Yeah, it's a real movie. What? I told you.
You said that... by the way, it was said while fantasizing about my death being reminiscent of the ending of Poltergeist. Oh, yeah. So I want everyone to know that.
That's true.
But you said Poltergeist, and I went, ha! One of his bad puns. And he went, no, it's real.
It's a Lloyd Kaufman movie, a.k.a. Trauma. It's a trauma movie, so if that tells you everything you need to know.
Trauma's one of those ones that I just can't.
They're bad.
I just can't.
It's like watching the second movie on this list, Thanksgiving, which we have done, and it's bad. Thanksgiving 3, it's funny, they skipped right over the sequel. I wonder how bad that could have been. Grindhouse?
How did the third one get better? Grindhouse is not a Thanksgiving movie?
So, well, this says one of the short segments featuring a trailer for a fake movie called Thanksgiving Update. This segment was eventually turned into a full feature-length film, Thanksgiving, from last year. So... yeah.
Okay.
And then Alien Abduction, Incident in Lake County. And then number 6, here we go. Christy, the movie I was just talking about, a college girl who's home alone on campus over Thanksgiving breaks, targeted by a bunch of whiny incels. Anyway, yeah, there are 100% that if you remember my, I don't know if you ever watched it, but that was my whole argument against this movie was Christy is, you know what? I'm not even going to just go watch the review. So anyway, yeah, there's not a lot of Thanksgiving horror movies. So you kind of have to take what you can get as far as that can go. So Blood Rage, like I said, is one of those movies I've been watching a long time, every single year. You've never seen this.
This is a wheelhouse that continuously has spokes added to it the longer that we do this. So it makes sense that this is not something that I had watched. My Thanksgiving movies traditionally, up until the last couple years, have been like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and Grumpy Old Men and like classic borderline not really family Thanksgiving movies, you know what I mean? Like yeah. That kind of stuff, like stuff that you would watch, you know, the family would watch, and maybe everyone under 13 gets booted out of the room for a little bit.
Well,
this is something where only the 13-year-olds stay in the room because they're the only ones that are going to find interest in it.
All right. Well, would you like to give me a synopsis of the 1987 film Blood Rage, a.k.a. Slasher?
No, but I'm gonna. Blood Rage is about two twins where one is a total psychopath and murders a couple, or one guy traumatizes another naked girl because, as we all know, full on sex is what you do at a drive-in. And he murders this man at a drive-in for what I can tell is no reason.
Because he found an axe.
Right. Well, you know, you watch your mom get fucked in the back of an Oldsmobile enough times at a drive-in, it's bound to fuck anybody up. And he takes the fall, gets sent to the mental institution, and gets out, and then has to basically convince everybody that his brother is the one doing all the naughty, naughty things.
I'm going to simplify this for you. We're gonna do the Blood Rage IMDb.
I've been drinking already. It was a rough
synopsis
day.
Here. A boy kills a man and accuses his twin brother of the murder, and the innocent brother ends up institutionalized, while his psychotic twin goes free. 10 years later, the innocent twin escapes, which triggers his brother into killing again. So
I should start writing these down.
Yeah.
I should start writing these down.
I mean, to be fair, we watched this like 3 or 4 days ago, so it is what it is. So I know this is not generally your type of movie. So
no, this is the type of movie you pick knowing it's not my type of movie. These are the things you do to me.
No, you purpose. Saw the list. We could have watched Thanksgiving 3. Would you have rather have done that?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I promise you, we've seen the first one. That's enough. I don't need more.
Right. But the third one obviously is better than the second one. I actually had a lot of fun with this one. I'm not going to lie. I had a lot of fun. This is, again, like Mike said, this is not up my alley normally. This is not in my wheelhouse. But that is kind of why this whole paradigm that we've got works, is because every now and then I sit there and I go, this is not something I would have normally watched. This is not something. If I were at the store buying a movie, which you can only do at used movie stores now, because thanks Netflix, this is one that if I saw on the shelf, I would go, mm-mm. But this was actually a lot of fun. The acting is terrible, but it's not why you come to this. The plot is preposterous, but it is not why you come to this. You come to this for what this movie does right, and that is twisted sadistic laughs and special effects. And this movie does that well. It does that well. I will give it that. Everybody is making the wrong choices, but they have to in a movie like this. You have to make the wrong choices or nothing gets propelled forward. And luckily, everything found a way to get propelled forward in this.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
it's Blood Rage, dude. What more do you want?
I mean,
me?
That's
Come
the
on.
Thing, right? I mean, I definitely agree. Like the acting real bad. Surprisingly good cinematography. The lighting is pretty good, all things considered. The technical stuff is actually not that bad in this movie, and it actually makes watching this movie a little bit of fun.
The acting is one step away from oh my god.
Yeah, it's just above Troll 2 there for sure, because it's like you can tell none of these people are trained actors or actresses except the main mom. The mom,
we got a whole thing
to get into with the mom, because without context, the mother, her acting, the way she's dressed, all of it makes no fucking sense.
It's a very Requiem for a Dream.
All of it makes no fucking sense unless you have a little bit of context here. So here's what I want to do. Her name is Louise Lasser. And this is her. Quite a bit younger.
Oh, good. She's always looked 40.
Quite a bit younger than she was in Blood Rage. And here's the
looking
thing.
40.
So, but look at how she's dressed. She's dressed the exact same way that she's dressed in Blood Rage. Which is, I would assume, why she's dressed like this, because this is her thing.
Is she the mom from Requiem for a Dream?
Yeah, she is.
She is.
Yeah, she is the mom.
Dude, that makes so much sense.
And now that I see this, yes, actually. Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
There you go. But this is the thing is like, if we look at her shit, Mary Hartman. This is one of those things. I don't know what this is. She is known for her portrayal of the title character on the soap opera satire, Mary Hartman. So it's a soap opera satire.
Okay.
Wow. She had an affair with Woody Allen.
Woody Allen was like, wow. Nah, 14 wasn't the right call.
I mean, who fucking,
who sees Woody Allen in swoons?
Wait, she was married to him?
Plot thickens.
She was married to Woody Allen from 1966 to 1970. I mean, if you have to be married to Woody Allen, that would be the time period you would want it to be, I would imagine. Because that was
let's go out of the actress realm. Can you imagine how much it would fuck with you to get divorced from Woody Allen and then find out later he's married to his 13-year-old niece or cousin or whatever the fuck Woody Allen married?
I mean, look at her. She's like, you know, for 60s, like semi attractive.
You know what? Good for him for trying to go over 18. Good for Woody Allen. Sorry, I have no love for Woody Allen.
Roman either.
Polanski can go get fucked.
They remained close after the marriage began to fall apart and that their romance didn't completely end until sometime after they officially got divorced. In fact, even after the two had split, Alan Caster in one of his film Bananas. This is the thing is everybody's like, oh, yeah, he's a horrible person, but like he makes good movies. Not one goddamn time in my life have I sat down to watch a Woody Allen movie. Not a fucking once.
No.
So I don't have any context to this woman or her ex-husband that I can be like, bring some profound insight to, but, whatever.
Ninth Gate by Roman Polanski. Fucking great. It's really good. Is that good.
The one with Johnny Depp?
Yeah.
That is really good. That is a good movie.
Regardless of her past and who she is and the shit she is, I'm not surprised. The entire time we were watching this, I was mentioning this woman reminds me of the mom from Requiem for a Dream, like because it's the same vibe as Requiem for a Dream. But in Requiem for a Dream, it worked. It worked really, really well because she's, you know, she's clearly on all these medications. She's clearly losing her mind. But in this, we're just supposed to kind of accept that she's unstable.
We're not really given much of a reason for her to be in such, especially before the kids kill anybody. She's just already this like baby woman. It's like, for lack of a better word, she's this like baby woman. And it's so uncomfortable and like,
she's like one mental breakdown from a Bo Peep costume.
And like the fact that we're introduced to her when she's like, I'm going to put my kids to sleep. Now let's bone in the front seat 6 fucking inches away from their faces in the drive-in. Like the whole thing is just like,
assault rifle.
I don't know. What? You were so focused on the assault gun. Like it's like,
it's fucking weird.
No, it's not,
dude.
It is.
I had cap guns when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I get like, if it was like some like bolt action play gun, but it's just something about it being like, I mean, and maybe it's because of the day and age that we live in, And because I read the news too much.
That's what it is. Because you didn't have one of these growing up? This blows my mind.
Assault rifle toy?
Yeah, they had giant orange fucking things on the end of them.
See, this is why you're the one that introduces me to these movies.
I don't know what that has to do with not having a good childhood. What does that have to do with you being too sheltered?
It has to do with your misconceived perception of a good childhood.
Okay, so what you're saying is because I had toy guns growing up, my childhood was objectively worse.
No. I think good intentions were there. That's the thing is like she going back to the mom though, she like there's acting ability in there. And clearly, I mean, from seeing her, you know, later stuff, obviously that's true, but I don't know. Do you think it's because it's surrounded by this mishmash of terrible acting that she seems over the top?
No, she
or
just
is she over the top.
She just is.
She is over the top. Okay.
She reminds me of that Family Guy skit where she, my name is Florida. That's not the name of a person. That's the name of it. She like has that delivery where it's just like her voice is quivering and then she's dressed like an 8-year old. And so it's and then has the hair of like an 8-year old. But then the face
she's got
of a woman that's been smoking for 40 years. And it's just the whole package is very confusing and strange. And then the way she speaks doesn't help any of it. And it just
like
and then the guy that plays her fucking her son is a bad actor, too. And you know, the guy that literally, like, I think five or six times we counted it. That's not cranberry sauce.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, dude, if you're going to have a catchphrase. Don't say even at least Quagmire only says giggity once a week. But no, that's the thing, though, is like a movie like this is not. And this is, you know, a point you've had to make to me many, many times is movies like these are not about what the actors can do. You just kind of need something on screen.
Yeah, the plot is simply there to show you kills. It's like, it's very equivalent to like a porno from the same time where
or
it's like
ever.
The plot is only there so that you can get to the stuff that you're there for. And it's, you know,
thank God porn's gotten past that.
Yeah. Yeah. All that pesky plot's out of the way now. But no, Blood Rage has this thing where it's like, you know, it might be a little too self-aware because we're heading into the later half of the 80s. It's 1987. All of the peak slasher shit happened years ago. The genre is on a bit of a downslide at this point. Still going strong, but a bit of a downslide. You can make movies like this with not a lot of money and get a return on that money. And I don't know if this made its money back or not. I would assume it did because it looks like it was made with like 20 grand or something. You know, I think for
But that was in the 80s. I mean, that's like $3 million now.
I mean, maybe we can find out.
$20,000 in the 1980s was worth significantly more than it is today due to inflation. The purchasing power of $20,000 in the 1980s is equivalent to approximately $57,000
today. Now give me the history of money before you answer my question. Holy God in heaven. What the fuck did you just ask? Was that Google?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was like trying to watch a fucking YouTube documentary.
it talks to you like
you're
a person.
Have you ever thought about Pogs from 1997? Well, let me take you back to 1932. It's fucking holy shit.
In order to explain Pogs, we have to discuss the creation of cardboard.
We gotta go all the way back
cardboard.
To the Renaissance era. Like fucking holy shit. Anyway,
Americans discovered lumber in the 1760s.
It wouldn't be until later when they figured out how to print on. Yeah. So I don't know. The fucking The acting is not great in this, but it's not why you're there. The plot, not great, not why you're there. The special effects, the cinematography, the kills, all of that stuff, the stuff that you want from like a mid-80s slasher is all there. It's all strong and it's all really fun. So it's like hard to hate this movie, even though it is so fucking awful. It's is objectively a bad movie, but it is one of those movies that is so bad and so hate watchable that it turns it into fun, which is why I watch this every year. Cause it's like,
well, dude, I don't even know. Like, I don't know if objective is the right term though, because it depends on what you're coming into it with. Like, or for. Like, if you're coming into it for the special effects, if you're coming into it, well, only that, actually.
Dude, I mean, that first kill, and when he chops off the mom's boyfriend's hand, like, dude, there's so many cool kills, like, and, you know, he slashes that dude at the very beginning, that opening scene with that axe. It is, like, brutal, even now.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, God, like.
This is a big thing, especially for that on the opening kill. That's a really, really good example of camera work, too, and editing.
Yeah.
Because they cut away at the right moments. They angle the camera at the right angle to where it look. Dude, a lot of these, like, strikes look fucking brutal. And a lot of that, if not all of that, is because the special effects don't play a part in that. They play a huge part in that. But the reason why they look so like they hit so hard is because of the camera work and the editing.
Well, and we may have to blur some of this, but I just want to show kind of what you're talking about here, because this is the opening scene where the kid finds the axe. He walks up to the car door. He sees that these two are making love. The guy's like, get the fuck out of here, you creep. We see his little brother behind it. By the way, really, really nice use of bokeh here. Pulls our attention. It's not for nice no fucking reason. Too, dude.
Look at that. Look at that rim light.
100%. Yeah, good fucking eye.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. We got wind blowing. He's like, dude, get the hell out of here. He raises us up, and then look at that. We cut away from it. We don't even see it at first. We cut back to the mom being in the fucking...
being the child mom?
A really shitty mom. Yeah, really shitty baby woman. she realizes the kids aren't there, finally.
Can we pause this for a second? Can we talk about how she's an adult, and she could easily get a fucking hotel room?
Yeah.
Like,
it makes me wonder what age she's playing, like, in the script, like, what it said, because, like, to us, she looks like a 40-year-old woman in the you know, late 80s, maybe she
looks
pulled
like
off
the
28?
Janitor at a high school that still tries to dress cool to impress the kids he's cleaning around.
Yeah, and if by dress cool, you mean dresses like she's in the band Baby Metal. Yeah. Sure. But anyway, back to this. She realizes the kids are gone. Oh, he cut all this. Okay, so yeah, this is the YouTube cut. So because we didn't see any of that slashing.
Yeah.
This is the director's cut, I think, that we watched. But yeah, there's a brutal like face slashing scene, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And then he pawns it off on his brother. Dude, it's a great scene. Like, this is legitimately it's well constructed. It's written pretty well. The kill is cool. The idea is awesome. Like, all of it is fucking good. It's just good.
I'm going to knock on the direction here, though, because he really, really should have waited to have all the extras come in before or after he had clearly placed the hatchet in his brother's hand, clearly slapped him with blood
as he's like, setting it up. All these people are like running up to him, and very obvious it's that, like, they would have seen that.
Oh, we didn't see nothing.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe they're scared of the little kid with the axe, who knows.
Wouldn't you be?
Mm-hmm.
I would be.
Yeah, but like, this is the reason I wanted to show that scene is because this is a great fucking example of why this movie is fun. It's well constructed. It's shot well. The acting is the only real thing that I can knock on it, and that and it's good enough that it makes this movie fun. So like, I just, this scene is a great example of what this entire movie is like. It's just one dumbass thing from to another, and it's just a fun dumbass ride. And there's nothing wrong with that. You just have to be able to separate, you know, or maybe not separate. You just have to be able to put yourself in the position of being able to watch this in 1987, kind of what it was like, and just sort of separate yourself. And it's a fucking good time.
What he's trying to say is lower your expectations.
Yeah, lower your expectations of, like, you know, Long Legs or, I don't know, something that came out this year. Because it ain't
anything
that.
Anything else not, that's it ain't good. That.
But it's fun. No. And there's nothing wrong with it not being that.
That's why it's fun.
Right, exactly.
Long Legs isn't fun. Long Legs is good. Long Legs is enjoyable. Long Legs is uncomfortable, though.
Well, and that's
really uncomfortable.
That's definitely what's missing from horror right now, is it being fun. Like, we were shit talking Thanksgiving, but you know what? You know why we remember that movie so much? Because it's fun. It's horrible and shitty, I would never watch it again, but we had a blast sitting down watching that movie, making fun of it. Like,
we were drunk.
We were very drunk, if I remember correctly. But yes. But regardless,
feel free to go watch.
Regardless, horror is missing fun.
We did watch another movie that's going to be coming out, and it was very, very similar. It was a Thanksgiving movie. That review will be coming out soon, and that one was very fun as well. And it's why so many of these movies are so good. Halloween's a great example. Halloween is great for a multitude of reasons.
The original,
but it's fun. The original, yeah. The Rob Zombie one.
Oh, see, I thought you meant the other one that was made like 3 years ago. See, there's three of them.
right. I forgot. They had to remake it because they didn't get it right the first time.
Danny, what's his name? The comedian guy.
Bride.
Danny McBride. McBride, yeah. So, all right. Well, I mean, I don't really have much to say on Blood Rage other than this. I think that this is just a fun, dumb, stupid slasher that is great for sitting around, making fun of it with some friends, drinking, you know, having a few drinks, maybe on Thanksgiving night, getting together after dinner or something. It's fun. This is just a fun Thanksgiving slasher movie. And if you're into that sort of thing, you're going to love this movie. And I think this has got a cult following for a reason. So what did you rate Blood Rage?
I have not rated it on Letterboxd yet. I got to get better about that. Yeah. So if we're rating this off of what it is, for what it is, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. Which is not what I thought I was going to give this. I thought I was going to come out of this, like I usually do, sad, depressed, and regretful that I let you make me watch movies. And that is not how I feel about this. This one, I am going to give a 7 out of 10.
All right. Yeah, I mean, for me, this is a yearly watch, so this is something that I obviously enjoy enough to watch it every year. I think that this is just... I have been compiling a list for the last few years of like holiday movies that I pull out every single year. This made it. There's a reason I own the like really nice Arrow version of this movie, because it's like just a fun, stupid movie. And I really enjoy it. This is a really good transfer for how shitty
good cover
this fucking movie is. So anyway, there's a reason I bought this. It's really good. This is a really great cover. They did a really, really good job with this edition. The slip cover is really nice. So Arrow, I don't know if you can still get this or not. No idea, but worth it if you can. Other than that, I think this is on. Where did you watch this? Oh, fuck. That's right.
I watched it with you.
Yeah, you watched it with me. I don't think you can find this anywhere. Can you?
No, you cannot.
Other than on YouTube with an illegal upload. So that's kind of, if you want to watch this, it is on YouTube with if I remember to, I will just link this down below. Cause this guy,
Google.
Okay. Well, we're not promoting stealing movies. That's definitely not something
we, I didn't. We just would ever told do. People they could Google that.
So anyway, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and rate this 7 out of 10 as well. I think this is nice. Anything higher than that is ridiculous. Anything lower than that, you're just being an asshole. Six, seven. That's where this is.
I'm not going to lie. I thought you were going to give it an 8 and we were going to have a whole other segment of this episode of us having an argument.
No, I like I said, anything higher than that is you're dumb. Like this is it.
Yeah.
If you like shitty horror movies, even you have to admit on the scale of shitty horror movies, this is not a 10, 9 or an 8.
This is a 7 out of 10. Yeah. This is my GPA.
Yeah. So, if you like this, make sure you hit the like button. If you really like this, make sure you hit that subscribe button. What did you think of Blood Rage? Have you seen it? Are you going to watch it this year? Do you watch it every year? Let us know down in the comments. I'm interested to see how many people have got this on this list. Also, like I said earlier, go check out my review that I did for Christy. That is another really fun Thanksgiving movie. I also think that we're going to do Thanksgiving next. So we'll put that out closer to actual Thanksgiving, but that's another one I'm really looking forward to reviewing. So we've got some other stuff coming up.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanksgiving is going to be a lot of fun to review. That's a really fun movie. And it just, like I said earlier, that's what's missing from horror. So this has it in spades.
Should we just review it now?
Yeah, let's just review it now. So anyway, thanks for watching.
Felt very aggressive.
We'll see you next time from the deep. Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.